Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the USA Hockey Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If you should need operator assistance during the conference, please press star, then zero on your touchtone telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Mr. Dave Fisher. Sir, you may begin the call.
James, thanks very much, and ladies and gentlemen, good day. And we're just on the cusp of beginning officially Hockey Weekend across America tomorrow, presented by Reebok, our third annual edition to celebrate the game at all levels and also certainly expose the game to new audiences. And we're pleased as part of the Golden Moment series of teleconferences this year to have with us four members of our 1998 U.S. Olympic women's ice hockey team, of course, which won the first ever gold medal in the Olympics in women's ice hockey. These four ladies certainly have influenced in a big way the growth of hockey in our country on all fronts, and certainly on girls and women's hockey. And really, it's remarkable the past 12 months what has occurred in our country in international competition, including gold medals in the IIHF World Women's Championship and the IIHF World Women's Under 18 Championship. Also, two other IIHF Major World Championships, of course, the World Juniors, which just finished in Saskatoon, and the World Men's Under 18 Championship. We also won the gold medal at the World Sled Hockey Championship, and also two titles in the World Under 17 Challenge and the World Junior A Challenge. So really an unprecedented series of months, seven championships over those last 12 months, and that success is due to so many, certainly including the four women that are part of this call today. Our format today, we'll hear briefly from each of the four ladies, and once we're done with that, we will turn it back to James, and he'll take us through the question and answer portion of today's call. First up, it's my pleasure to introduce Karen Bydeet. She was a member of Team USA for a decade from 1992 to 2002. And during that time, competed in six world championships, two Olympic Games. In 1998, she was a team's leading goal scorer, five goals to her credit, three assists en route to helping the U.S. to the gold medal. She now resides in Hudson, Wisconsin, and has two sons. Karen, we'll turn it over to you.
Hey, thanks, Dave. It's a pleasure to be on here today. And, you know, as we were reminiscing on the phone, kind of talking about some stories, it just brings back a lot of great memories from the 1998 team winning the gold medal. And as I look back, you know, we took those 20 women. We trained hard together. I think, obviously, a very exciting moment in our life, in my life. And to be a part of that first ever women's Olympic team was something that was extremely special to all of us. The team was very special. I think part of the reason we won is we had such great team chemistry on the ice, off the ice, just 20 really special individuals, and we really tried to stay in touch with each other the best we can. Winning that gold medal was, I just get chills thinking about it. Great time of my life, and it was a highlight. It was a lot of fun, and I really think it was a springboard for all of women's and girls' ice hockey. You saw that, you know, just take off. So it was fun to be a part of that team.
Thanks, Karen. Next up is the captain of the team, certainly one of the most influential figures in women's hockey today, Cammie Granato. She was part of our women's national program since its inception in 1990 through 2005. She's the all-time leading scorer in the program's history, has appeared in nine world championships and two Olympic Games, and will be part of NBC's broadcast team in Vancouver, where she lives now and recently gave birth to her second son. Cammie, take it away.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, just to sort of follow up what Karen said, I think for me right now living in Vancouver, I've been able to sort of see the Olympics. You know, they're coming in 2 weeks. I've got to see the last 4 years, how everything's built towards all the venues and the games and just the excitement in the city. And that's really brought back a lot of memories for me. And one of the memories I remember, I was driving the other day past the Olympic Village, and I could see the tent going up for the security tent. And it just made me think, God, you know, that's one of the most, the greatest parts of the Olympics is getting into the village. Is, you know, you're so excited about getting to the games, and then you get into the village, and you get to see all these other athletes, and you're finally there, and it's bringing back a lot of memories for sure. And like Karen mentioned, it's an incredibly special memory, and for me it was, and for, I could probably speak for everybody, but it was the highlight, you know, because it was our gold medal, and we were the underdogs, and weren't expected to win, so when we came away with the gold medal, it was even that much more sweet. And it's great to reminisce. And you know, before the call, we were reminiscing about all the stuff off the ice, and that's a lot of the stuff that you miss. But you also miss that element of competition. And you know, for a brief moment there in Nagano, Japan, we had that moment to celebrate. We had our moment, and it was incredible.
Thanks, Cammie. Well, next, after joining the women's national program, it was back in 1997, Katie King retired from playing after her third Olympics in 2006. She was just the second player, I believe, to reach the 100-goal plateau in the history of the program, concluded her career with 146 goals and 119 assists, and she now resides in South Boston. Fresh off the ice from practice in her third season as the head coach of the Boston College Eagles women's ice hockey program, pleased to turn it over to Katie King.
Thanks, Dave. I mean, it's hard to go after you two, you know, talking about the same things that I'm sure myself and AJ both feel. And it was just a truly amazing experience for me and I know for all of us to be the first team ever to win gold in the Olympics in women's hockey. And I know that we all take great pride in that to do it for our country and like Cammie said, was, you know, we were the underdogs in that situation, and we all came together like I don't think, you know, any other team has since. And for us to come together and perform like we performed and to complete the goal that we set out to complete has, you know, it was amazing. And to think back now about it, it's just a truly you know, great experience, and it does still seem surreal. And every time I, you know, I have players now that have played for me that are now going vying for their first Olympics and for their first medal in Olympic Games, and it's been exciting to reminisce with them on certain things to look for and pay attention to. And I remember what getting our clothes for the first time and how excited we were and to figure out what we had to wear for what events. And it's just a very exciting time, it's exciting to obviously reminisce about it. So.
Thanks, Katie. And last but certainly not least, AJ Malesko, or now I guess AJ Griswold, was also a longstanding member of Team USA. She was skating on the U.S. national squad from 1995 to 2002, including, of course, both the 1998 and 2002 Olympic Winter Games, and also on three world championship teams. We'll be pleased to have AJ with us here in Colorado Springs next week, along with Doc Emmerich, in the final game of the Quest Tour, the women's pre-Olympic Tour. The U.S. will play Finland next Thursday night. That game will be live on the NHL Network at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And AJ now resides in Concord, Mass., with her three children. AJ, turn it over to you.
Thanks, Dave, and fun to hear the other three talk about what this meant to them and what it means to all of us, because it was such a special moment in time. And now in my post-competitive career in broadcasting, in the chance I've had to follow the current team and the teams that have come before, the 2006 team and the last couple of years, it's been really fun for me to see it from a different perspective and to appreciate it a little more, because I think when you're going through it, it's tough to be able to fully absorb how big a moment it is and how historic what we did and what we went through, and just the excitement of being at the Olympics and to talk to the players, and especially the 15 members that are going for the first time and their expectations and how excited they are. And yet it reminds me that no matter if you've been or not, you always sort of feel like a rookie when you first get there. And Kinger talked a little bit about getting all the clothes, and that's one of my fondest memories, is all of us coming into that room with our shopping carts and getting piles and piles and piles of Team USA gear. And it made you feel really as if you were part of something greater than the U.S. women's hockey team, but rather the Team USA that was going to represent the Olympics. And that was never more clear than at the opening ceremonies when we walked into that stadium in Nagano all dressed in our head-to-toe U.S. Team USA gear, walking with all the other athletes, all the other sports, that you know that you've all been working so hard for this moment, and it really felt like you had made it. And, you know, as Cammie alluded to, we did feel like we'd made it at that point, but having our moment and winning a gold medal was really spectacular. And with that great group of women, was surreal. And, you know, now that we've been there, been to Olympics since then, and the teams have not been able to repeat that, it shows also how difficult a feat that was, and how much prouder we are of those accomplishments. So it's, you know, it's fun to get together with our teammates when we can, and we had our 10-year reunion a couple of years ago, and it's always fun to get back and reminisce about all those wonderful times.
Thanks, AJ. Should mention also that AJ will be part of the broadcast team in Vancouver on coverage of women's hockey. And also, I think you all know that the 1998 U.S. Olympic women's ice hockey team was inducted into the United States Hockey Hall of Fame this past December 1 in Boston. And virtually all the team was back. It was a special moment for that team as well. I'd like to turn it back now to James, who will take us through the question and answer portion of today's call. James?
Thank you. If you have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Again, if you have a question, please press star, then 1. One moment for our first question. Thank you. Our first question comes from John McGordy of NHL.com. Your question, please.
Thank you, and congratulations to all of you. AJ, I'd like to ask you a question. Your story was really remarkable in 1998 in that you gave up senior year at Harvard to focus on the Olympic team or on the national team without any guarantee that you would be on the squad. And I was wondering if there's another human interest, another story of a woman who's following a path like that, making such a sacrifice as you did.
Well, you know, it's funny. People ask me about that sacrifice a lot because I do remember that moment, that time when I made that decision to give it up, give up my senior year, and it was such a hard decision. And in retrospect, I'm very fortunate that it all did work out, and I was able to make the team. And then when I went back and I saved my eligibility and was able to go back, and we won the national championship my senior year at Harvard. So it did all work out. But as you mentioned, there were no guarantees. You know, I think that a lot of the players now, every player on the U.S. and the Canadian teams have to give up 1 year of their college teams, their college sports, that, you know, the year of the Olympics. And the difference for me was that I gave up 2 years. And so, I think now there are enough, that the college level has gotten to be a good enough level of hockey that players are not forced to do that. And for me, my biggest weakness was my physical weakness. I had to go into the weight room and catch up with these other three women on the call with us. But I, you know, in answer to your question, whether there's somebody out there this season who has given up something similar. I mean, the only one that I could really think of is Jenny Potter, who's given up so much to continue doing what she's done. She's going for her fourth Olympics. She has two children, and she's really made it work with her husband Rob. But without living in their shoes, I'm not sure I can really speak to what the sacrifices are that each individual player makes.
The next question I have is for Katie. I wonder if, for all of you, obviously winning a gold medal was a great accomplishment, but what you spurred in American hockey and American women's hockey is amazing. I had the chance to talk to Kristen Stewart, who was tri-captain at Boston College with Katie, and asked her what the impact of 1998 was, and she called it a life-changing experience, that it opened up the optimism, the hope that she could do something like that, and, you know, going to Boston College and being a captain helped her reach that goal. Your own reactions to having people come up to you and say those things to you?
Oh, it's pretty neat when it's funny now coaching in the college world to have, you know, some of my players say, I have your, you know, the poster of your team on my wall, and you sign my T-shirt a lot, you know, with all your teammates. And it's really funny now, you know, being in the college ranks to see the kids come in and say that to you. And it's still shocking to me, you know, it's still kind of it's a cool experience to have the kids say that and know that you affected their lives and in a good way, and hopefully more players or more little girls will start playing hockey because of the team here in 2010. And it's a really neat experience that we can we were able to, you know, affect children's lives in a good way, and some adults too. I mean, I bet all of us on the call can talk about someone that we know that's 45 or 50 or however old, and they just started playing hockey because they saw our team play, and they just wanted to go out and try it. And it's just a really neat experience for us to be able to, impact people's lives that way.
Thank you.
We have Karen. You want to chime in on that?
Well, I mean, I just to agree with what Katie said, and I guess from my perspective now is coaching my son's team. Birdie's four, and to get out on the ice coaching him, you have all these parents coming up to you saying this is so cool, and you know, can you come, you know, coach our daughter's team? And you know, my daughter has your autograph on her wall. Same thing that Katie said, but just to look back on it, we had no idea the impact at the time that this was going to have. You know, we were kind of living in the moment and enjoying, you know, having our picture on the Wheaties box and meeting the president and all these things that took place, and all of a sudden, boom, it just hit us that we're like, wow, this had such an impact on the hockey world.
Cammy,
thank you.
Cammy, you've had some experiences, I'm sure, people coming up to you.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, sorry, I had to get you off mute so you didn't hear my kids. Well, I think it's actually one of the neatest things is to see some of the kids on the national or on the Olympic team now that you have coached. Or I had a couple kids in hockey school, and to see that, you know, when you meet these kids when they're at your hockey schools, and they, you know, they've got these bright eyes, and they say that their dream is to be on the national team one day or the Olympic team one day. It's so great to hear, and it's nice to know that there's a path. But to actually see, you know, some of these kids when they are 8 or 9 or 10, and now we're watching him on the Olympic team. It's pretty neat to see that transition, that change, that those little 8, 9, 10-year-olds are now on the Olympic team. So, it's great. And I think when Karin said, you know, we had no idea, we were, you know, halfway across the world. We had no idea who was watching us. And all of a sudden, we would report to this, we had this little surf cafe that you could go on the computers, and they could send emails to athletes. And as the Olympics went on, our whole team, our inboxes started getting flooded with emails, and we were like, oh my God, people are watching us. And that was the first like eye opener that people actually cared, because we were so used to playing in arenas with no fans, and then here we are with people all over the country supporting us and telling us, you know, you've inspired me. I went out on my driveway this morning and played hockey, and it was just incredible to see, and to know that we are a part of that is really special.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kevin Allen of USA Today.
Yeah, thanks, everyone, for being on the call. This question is really for the whole group, maybe start with Cammy and Karin. But can you think back to when you started in the women's program, what the caliber of play was at that point and how far it's come, and sort of compare? And also, has it met your expectations where you thought it would be at this time, or has it exceeded expectations?
I mean, as I look back, when I played at the University of New Hampshire in the early 90s, you know, obviously at the time we thought we had a pretty good team. If you were to take that team and compare it to the team that is at UNH right now, night and day different. I think if you look at women's athletics in general, just getting women athletes in the weight room, I think their strength is tremendous, their speed has gotten, you know, they've gotten so much faster. I mean, I look at the difference between our 1998 team compared to the 2002 teams. You know, you look at our pictures, we were much more fit, much more athletic, and I think there was a big change then. I think there's still even a change now. Maybe it's plateaued a little bit, but I think just to see these women starting their fitness training at a younger level versus, you know, like AJ said, when she joined the team, she's like, hey, I had to catch up to these guys and get myself in the weight room and you know, get stronger. But some of these athletes now are starting in high school, and so I think that was, probably one of the biggest differences.
Cammy?
Yeah, I noticed the exact same thing as Karin mentioned about the physical shape just from, you know, from the very beginning. And you look at, my years at Providence, I mean, we were begging our coach to actually skate us because he wasn't even, you know, he didn't really think about fitness. And now fitness is so important and such an integral part of the game that you really see the strength come out on the ice. And that's the one thing I noticed. The Olympic team was out in Vancouver for a pre-tour game, well, tournament actually, and I got to watch the U.S. and Finland, Sweden, and Canada. And it's remarkable to me not only how great a shape everybody is and how strong everybody is, but just more well-rounded, I've noticed. The players are, everybody can stick handle, everybody can shoot, everybody can skate. And before, you know, when he first started, the assets were maybe, you know, this girl's a good skater and this, you know, she can really shoot. But now everybody's really well-rounded, and I really noticed that. And I think the one thing that maybe is disappointing to me a little bit is I thought maybe the other teams would have progressed a little bit more as far as competing. And I think in saying that, Finland and Sweden definitely have. I mean, Finland beat the U.S. in the tournament here in Vancouver in a prelim game. And then obviously in Torino, Sweden upset the U.S. So those teams are, you know, making a step. But just on a more regular basis, it would be nice to see these teams competing. And I think what I'm disappointed most is it's in the support they're getting, I think, from their governing bodies and the money that we're getting for support and the programs that are in place in North America for U.S. and Canada are really strong. But in those other countries, it's lacking a bit. So they're still catching up. And I thought maybe they'd be a little bit further along. But it's coming. I guess we just have to be patient. And like I said, it's truly remarkable to see how good the players are, you know, how well-rounded everybody is. So it's going to be a really exciting Olympics to see.
Katie King, you're right there in the midst of it in college hockey. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's you can definitely, like Karin touched on, you know, looking back at her UNH team and how different it is now, and it's tremendous how much the sport has grown, and I think all those things really do come into play, and I think it's very interesting because, you know, having two of our players you know, on the team now, and they've come back and, you know, a few of their days off, and we've been able to see them, and they were in pretty good shape when they were playing here last year, but to see them come back and in even better shape and to see them jump on the ice, or, you know, a few times, and to see them improve even in, you know, since they've been playing with other, you know, now Olympians, it's exciting to see the growth still from the, you know, from the college ranks to the Olympic ranks, and it's definitely a jump that I don't think some people really understood, and although I think it's probably less now than it was when we were in school, you know, and in 98, but it definitely is a jump for these kids, and to see them, you know, work at some things, you know, other than that, you know, work at different things and maybe take on different roles on the U.S. team has been very, you know, I think good for them and good for the game of hockey. You know, and when kids go from college to the Olympic team, they could take on different roles and adjustments and whatnot. So, you know, I think. You know, it's always a change. I think the change is less now from when it was when we were going to school. But you know, the game has changed, and it's still an amazing game to watch.
AJ, you want to finish it off?
It's great to hear everybody, you know, say all those same things that I believe, and it's been fun to watch it, as I said before, from a broadcasting perspective, analytically looking at the game and how it's changed, and you know, a lot of the nuances are the same in terms of the skills and the way that the players pass and shoot, but it is the strength, the fitness, and the one thing that I would add is that a big change I've noticed is just the parity, and I don't mean between the teams, because I do agree with what Cammy was saying, but I mean between the you know, top 50 players or top 100 players in Team USA. It's a lot harder for the coach to find those players, and he's not looking for role players as much because, as somebody said, all the players are more well-rounded, and the difference between the players that Coach Johnson takes and the players that he doesn't they're very slim margins. And I think the same can be true, can be said of Canada north of the border, that they've got just the pool of talent is getting bigger and bigger each year. And I do think that's where the Canada and the U.S. are far superior to all the other countries in the world, is that we just have the resources to have this pool of talent that gets bigger and gets more competitive, and the players are just across the board are just that much better and stronger.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Ann Killian of SportsIllustrated.com. Your question, please.
This is for Cammy. How you doing, Cammy? I I'm
good. I was off speaker. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm about to talk to Hillary Knight, and I know she's one of those bright-eyed girls that you saw a long time ago, and now she's going to be wearing your number. And I was wondering if you could just comment a little bit on her and her development. And also, are you seeing in this generation of girls who are young in their early 20s, do they understand kind of what you guys did in terms of paving the way?
You know what? I think the girls that watch the Olympics do, because I went down to the locker room in Vancouver to meet some of the young girls that I haven't met before, and these girls were excited. I mean, they watched the Olympics, so it was neat to see them sort of, you know, come over and talk to me and just, you know, ask questions and feel like it was someone that they had looked up to from the 98 games. So I think some of them get it for sure. And when you look at Hillary Knight, she's the one player that I've noticed. I mean, she had an incredible world championships, and she can score. I said if there's any young player that's going to be a game breaker in the Olympics, it's going to be her, because she shoots the puck harder than actually Karin had one of the hardest shots of all of us, and she shoots the puck like that. She shoots the puck hard, and she can get it off, you know, while her feet are moving, and she can put it in all sorts of places in the net, and she's a pure, pure goal scorer. And I said, you know, if there's anyone that's going to be a game breaker, it's going to be her. And of all the young players, she's already there. Some of them you can tell, like, they're just a step away from kind of getting to the next level. Hillary, she competes so hard, and she wants the puck. She's confident with the puck that I think she's gonna really make a difference. And I think they're gonna depend on her too, because she's a great player for them. And she's teamed up with Jenny Potter, who can really dish the puck. So Jenny knows where to find her in those areas. And if you give Hillary the puck in the middle of the slot area in the offensive zone, she's gonna put it away. So I'm really, really impressed with her, and she's, of all the young players, like I said, she's the one that's already there.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
Our next question comes from Harry Thompson of USA Hockey Magazine. Your question, please.
Yeah, this question is for Katie. Katie, now that you are obviously coaching at Boston College, I was wondering if any of the things that you could point to directly that you learned from Ben in all the years that you played for him that have become a part of your coaching philosophy? And also, do you ever work any of the old Smithisms into any of your coaching talk?
Yeah, I'm still pretty close with Coach Smith, and he's definitely around a lot of our, you know, he's around obviously this area anyway, so he comes and watches sometimes, but I think I definitely still do some of our favorite drills from when back in '98, as I think we can all remember the same couple of drills that he would try to drill into us, and there are times where I find myself remembering back to when we were playing and saying, all right, Katie, it's time to do a little bit of a different drill because the kids are going to get a little bored. I definitely use some of the things that, Coach Smith, brought to coaching. I definitely use some of those. And I think I have taken, you know, little bits and pieces from all the coaches that I've played for or coached with. And I think that's, you know, how you end up, you know, coming up with your own way to coach. So, but Coach Smith has definitely been someone who's been very influential in my coaching career.
Thank you. Our next question comes from John McGordy of NHL.com. Your question, please.
This is, again, for AJ. I think an important part of team building is to have as many winners as you can on your team. And this is a team where I'm reading here 20 world champions, 9 NCAA champions, 3 Patty Kazmaier Memorial Award recipients. You won the Patty Kazmaier Award. And I was wondering, how does it change a person at all in the way you approach the game to have that recognition of, I guess, superiority?
I don't think it does change the way you approach the game, because I think everybody at this level, all 21 players wearing that USA jersey and heading to Vancouver, they've already achieved incredible success. And I, you know, I think that for me, I won the Patty Kazmaier Award in the second year of the award's existence, and it was a tremendous honor. And I'm not, I don't mean to downplay the importance or the significance of the award, because it was an incredible honor. But I think that for these players, there are a bunch of them that have won the award. But there are so many of them, as you say, NCAA champions, world champions, and frankly, it starts at the top. You look at Coach Mark Johnson and the success that he's had, both as a player and as a coach. And I think there are just some people that know how to win. Cammie was talking about Hillary being a natural gold scorer, and I think there are just some natural winners. And these people are that are competing for Team USA are they find ways to win, and they are. Whether or not they have individual hardware to prove it, people on that team have the team hardware to prove it at this point. And I think they're looking for a little bit more to add to it in Vancouver, that's for sure.
Thank you.
The interesting thing there is, too, John, that was one of the things that when Dave Ogren was here the first time, helped create the Patty Kazmaier to help influence the continued growth and exposure of the sport, and AJ talked a little bit about what it means, and it's fun to see that it continues today and continues to increase in significance in the women's college community.
Can I jump back in? The only thing I would add to that is that the question to me was whether it changed your approach to the game, and I don't think it does, but I do agree, Dave. I did not mean to underscore
the importance of the
award, because I do think what is really important about it is how other people perceive it, too. The fact that there is something that is akin to the Hobie Baker, it gives people sort of something to measure college hockey against. The fact that there is something that that people can recognize in the Patty Kaz Award, as it's been shortened to, is something that people know and ask about, and it's a tremendous thing that USA Hockey Foundation's done.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm showing no further questions.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for your participation today in our second of a series of three Golden Moments teleconferences. We'll finish tomorrow at 2 o'clock Eastern with members from the 1980 Miracle on Ice team. And our great thanks to our four participants from the 1998 team for taking the time to join us today. Enjoy the rest of the day, and we look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This does conclude the program. You may now disconnect.